Well, in this part of Focus 580, we will be talking about poetry, and our guest for the program is poet Bob Hickok. He is visiting the campus of the University of Illinois. He will be giving a reading this afternoon at the Illini Union Bookstore. This is in the Author's Corner. It will take place at 4:30. He has published a number of collections of his work and has gotten a number of awards and a lot of recognition. He's published in Poetry, Paris Review, The New Yorker. He's the author of The Legend of Light, a book that won a collection that won the Felix Pollack Prize in Poetry. Also, Animal Soul, which was finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award for Poetry. His newest collection is titled Insomnia Diary, and it's published by University of Pittsburgh Press. He's now teaching creative writing at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, and didn't really start out to be a poet, but was very interested in writing. He, in fact, worked for a number of years in the auto industry, and wrote poetry kind of in his spare time, and did it, he says, not because anybody encouraged him to do it, but because he just felt it was in him to do it. And his work got more and more favorable attention, was published, and now he's made the transition to perhaps being a poet full-time and also being a teacher of writing. And we're glad to have him here on the program. Questions are welcome. Certainly, if somebody would want to call in and talk with him, you can do that. 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana folks. Also, we have toll-free line, and that's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. So, 333-9455, 800-222-9455. I'm just sitting here telling Bob Hickok that I'm just back here after having been away for about 2.5 weeks, and I'm not sure I remember how to do this anymore.
It's good to forget sometimes.
Yes, that's good. I try to, at least for those few times I get away, to try to get away as far as I possibly can, although somehow the show always haunts me. I can't quite get away from it.
Where did you go?
Canada. I was in Atlantic Canada. It's a place my wife and I, there's this island in the Bay of Fundy, which is pretty much just a rock surrounded by the Atlantic Ocean that we like very much and that we keep going back to because it's about as different from here as you can get. It's a long way away. It's very peaceful. It's very quiet. You can sit there and stare at the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah. If that's all you want to do, it's great. It's one of those little places that time forgot. There's a main road that runs all the way down one side of the island from the north to the south. There's no stop sign. There's no stoplight. There are no stoplights on this place.
That's great.
And it's, yes, although it's now more and more over time, it seems to have been discovered, and I'm sort of concerned about that. There has been a lot of, over the last year, there seems to be a number of new places built on the island, and the islanders tell us that it's Americans. The main coast is too crowded for people now, so they're looking for other places that are like that. So
that's always the dilemma with places that you like. You want to talk about
them. I know, and that's actually I'm sure my wife would say, no, shh, don't tell anybody about this place.
Don't talk about it on the radio.
But I think it's too late. I think it's been discovered, so all we can hope is that it won't change very much. I don't think it's ever going to be a really... No one's going to go build a high-rise hotel on this rock.
Or a Starbucks.
No, I don't think that that's ever going to happen. Well, anyway, it's glad to have you here.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So before you you started being a teacher of writing and more being a poet, tell me about what it is that you did. You were working in the industry that made machines that made parts for cars. Is
close.
That kind of right?
I designed automotive dies. You know the term tool and die?
Right.
I designed large objects that stamp out car parts.
Okay.
So I didn't actually make them. I sat, for the most part, at a computer and designed what someone else would then build, and it would go into a stamping plant.
Yeah. And did your dad also work in the industry?
He did. He built dies. His background was as a toolmaker. Very successful at it from an early age. Became a manager, I think at 24, he ran his first plant. And when I was younger, I wanted to do what he did, and it was the only time he ever said no. His feeling was that the chance of someone making a living doing that kind of work was very small, that the industry was changing enough. He says, no, you can't go into that. I ended up coming into a different phase of the business, and his estimate was right. By and large, that kind of work is leaving this country. That kind of skilled labor is disappearing. You probably had some of that in this area, but much more up in Chicago and certainly in Michigan. Yeah. A lot of tool and die shops.
Well, you did put some time in the college classroom studying other things, not engineering or design.
Yes and no. I'm one of those people who had kind of a weird educational history. I think I have 124 undergraduate credits and no degree. I went to probably easiest thing to refer to it as an experimental school. No grades, you got evaluations. People did very well coming out of that school, going into graduate schools, but they reorganized the college when I was finishing up and said I had to take things like algebra, which I had done a long time ago, and I was not interested in that. But I got into a graduate program in library science with the understanding that I would finish my undergrad work. Quickly realized I didn't want to be a librarian, so I just let all that go. And that's when I started doing the design work.
And you did well enough to have your own company.
I did. It turned out I just had the skills that you need to do that kind of work. And toward the end of my career, I started my own company, which was a lot of fun. I had never given any thought to owning a company. I'm not entrepreneurial in that way. But I liked working. I liked having my own people and trying to run a company the way that I always wanted to see someone do it.
So you said your dad discouraged you from doing this because he figured you couldn't make a living at it. Well,
Particularly the build end.
Yeah. What's his thoughts about your being a poet?
They became more comfortable with that as it became apparent that I could generate money. These are Depression-era folks. My dad was born in 30. My mom was born in 32. And they, particularly on my dad's side, they saw a lot of desperation. His father would hitchhike back and forth across Michigan looking for work. So what you do for a living is something, in his mind, that you really have to depend on, and the arts are a luxury. Mm-hmm. You'll see this in generations. One generation, you know, it may be a stone cutter, and the next generation, because there's a kind of economic loam that the family grows out of, is afforded opportunities that the previous generation wasn't. But as I started earning money, winning awards, and now with the teaching job, their attitude changed markedly about doing this.
Yeah. Well, there we talked a little bit about one part of your life. How did you start writing poetry?
Girlfriend broke up with me. I was...
was born of deep emotional pain.
Yeah. Very, very hackneyed stuff. I was driving around, listening to rock and screaming, crying, whatever, pulled over at a drugstore and got a notebook and started writing things and found I really liked it and kept going.
And you never had any kind of formal education in writing?
No.
Per se?
No. I had one or two courses in college. One was on writing articles, and I think I took a creative writing class in college, but that was it. Found some people there that would look at poems, and that was very helpful.
Well, there, ladies and gentlemen, is the brief biography of our guest, Bob Hickok. He's a poet. He's here visiting the campus to do reading, and I expect he's also spending time talking with students here who are writers.
Yes.
His most recent collection is Insomnia Diary. And without going any further, I think I'd like to ask you to read something.
Sure.
For us. Could be of your choice. I know there are a lot of poems in here that I really like very much, but it could be whatever you would like to do.
Sure. Well, since we've been talking about work, I'll read a poem that has to do with having to lay someone off.
Oh, yeah.
If I can find it. This, one of the things I didn't like about owning a business was when things got to the point that I had to let, well, one of the expressions people use is let people go. I had to lay a guy off who, very nice guy, has five kids. This poem is about that. It's called Dropping the Euphemism. He has five children. I'm Papa to 100 pencils.